Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Today, I'd like to welcome to the program Eric Schumacher, film and TV actor, producer, director, owner of Sealy Studios, and proud geek. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you, and I'm very glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Steven.
Yes, thank you for joining me. So, just for the listeners' purpose, could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, the short story is I am a geek of many kinds. I'm an acting geek. I'm a filmmaking geek. I'm a geek. I was raised by a family of actors, and began my training. The earliest that I remember was 6 years old, although my dad insists it was earlier.
Wow.
Fell madly in love with the art, and as I continued to pursue an acting career, I eventually decided to start studying the filmmaking side of things as well, mainly so I could better understand how that side worked to be a better actor. And I realized I had some talents on that side as well, so I started making commercials and movies and a variety of other things. I'm currently, I guess, best known for I'm one of just a very handful of actors, I'm proud to say, who have ever played both Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp in two separate nationally publicized productions. And I am a big fan of science fiction, fantasy, geek culture sort of stuff. That tends to be mainly the bulk of what I end up producing and or directing is stuff in that genre. And of course, as you mentioned, I'm the current president of the production group Sealy Studios, which tends also to specialize in some of those genres.
Awesome. Yeah, I was doing some research earlier, kind of checking out some of the stuff that you guys have done, and the science fiction aspect always piques my interest because I'm huge into sci-fi.
I never would have guessed that about you.
Yeah. It's a sickness, but Star Trek, sci-fi, Star Wars, time travel, any of that kind of stuff. So
you can't see me giving you the Vulcan live long and prosper symbol right now, but I'm doing it with both hands.
Skype has that as an emoji now, which is funny. So
what's you talking about, Willis? I didn't know that. That's awesome.
So because I almost did that earlier, and then I was like, I don't know. Because it transports away. what have been some of your... Because I noticed that Sealy Studios is promoting the My Stolen Time Machine.
That's a project that is in post-production right now. We had a bit of a hitch. Unfortunately, my very wonderful business partner, Don Dem, passed away just a couple of months ago, after a long battle with cancer. And that was a project that he and I, he produced and I directed. And in fact, it was the catalyst to me becoming a partner in the company. We're expecting that to finally launch about the middle of this year. It's a science fiction short episode series, currently about 26 episodes long. And the gist of it is a teenage girl genius steals her father's half-made time machine to cheat on a history exam and accidentally almost destroys the universe, making multiple versions of herself throughout time and space, and now she has to work with herself to fix it.
Wow. If it weren't for the fact I'm very into sci-fi, like time travel aspect, that would sound very confusing.
I imagine your audience won't find it confusing.
No, not at all. Not at all. I've given them the lowdown on a screenplay I wrote similar to, not similar. It's past and future, but it's superhero based in time travel. So I wrote that in a college course. So that was
great.
Very convoluted.
Very cool. Very cool.
So, yeah. So what are some inspirations for your various projects, whether it's acting or writing and directing?
Well, you know, I think that's a difficult question to answer. It really depends on the project, but there are projects that I partner, or we, I should say, partner with others on, and sometimes they're brought to us and we partner in producing them. Other times they're things that we generate ourselves. I would say that, you know, since I'm now in charge of things, the types of projects that we initiate tend to be on typically science fiction, fantasy. What we look for in a project that we want to sink our teeth into is a unique angle, a unique twist, and a statement about something that will hopefully generate conversation. So, you know, for example, My Soul and Time Machine, when Don and I created that series, the intention was to, in fact, create, kind of a girl time traveler before Doctor Who did. And we wanted to have a female-led show that was very much, that had the side effect of exploring a young woman as she finds out who she really is, and so the fact that she has multiple selves allows her to examine who she is as a person and who she could be as a person if she makes the right moves or the wrong moves, examine her own insecurities through a comedic script. And so we're always looking for things that have personal meaning to our audience and things that we feel deserve to be explored in a unique way. In terms of my work as an actor, though, it's, of course, part of it is what I'm offered.
Yeah.
But I've, especially since I'm, now running the company, I'm being very picky about what I take on, because I don't have a lot of extra time. So I really have to make sure the projects that I agree to as an actor are things that I believe have some artistic worth or are particularly well paying or good for the career, so I'm, I certainly the opportunity to play Doc Holliday a couple of years ago, that was one I wasn't going to pass up, especially since it was directed by Alex Cox, who's a very a brilliant man, and you may know him from Repo Man and Sid and Nancy and a bunch of really amazing films like that. So I'm, likewise as an actor, though, if I have my choice, if I have my druthers, I'm looking for stuff that allows me, well, for one, and also to go into a, I like going into a deep character or a meaty character. I'm one of those actors who tends to disappear into a role. I've been very honored that some of my filmmaking friends have seen me in principal roles and things and didn't realize it was me until the credits. And that was about the nicest thing that could ever have said to me.
Those are always the most amazing roles to me, are the ones that can blend in like a chameleon.
Yeah, yeah. And they're the most gratifying to play typically, because, it allows me to really kind of, it forces me to take a completely different person's perspective in life and find a way to play that truthfully, which means that the side effect is that I grow as a person, because I'm not just, playing something that's so close to me that there's not a lot of necessary emotional growth,
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, that being said, I mean, the right thing that is kind of close to me, I'll take. We just we're finishing final post production after a soft world premiere of the feature film Revenge of Zoe, which is incidentally set largely in a comic book store and involves an imaginary superheroine and screenwriting. It's a really funny comedy co-produced with TV's Meteorite Men's Jeffrey Notkin and Marty Campbell and Cliff Gatola of Pondo Enterprises, and I played a character in that was actually a lot like me maybe 20 years ago, you know, and actually still fairly a lot like me, kind of among my real personality tends to be the type that's very kind of driven and serious and uptight. And this character was that to the nines, and also an uber geek. So
yeah, that's definitely awesome getting to kind of feel it out and be able to play yourself in a sense, like it throughout whatever role you're playing. Mm-hmm. What were some of the characters that have inspired you when you've gone into character, when you've gone into your blending mode?
Well, that's a good question. I rarely look at the work of others when I'm going into character unless I have a very specific reason to do that. I try not to reference too much other people's work at all, and instead just go into a process of building a person from the ground up. But certainly, I mean, you can't help but be influenced a bit by other people's work or by other characters. I think as I was a decent example of that is when I was playing Wyatt Earp for a television show called Legends and Lies, The Real West for Fox. I do recall mentally referring to some of the better kind of tough guy roles that I'd seen played over the years. A lot of the scenes with Wyatt were him intimidating somebody, and so I remember looking at the way that maybe Sylvester Stallone had played a role, or looking at, you know, I didn't necessarily go and watch the films. I just kind of remembered the scenes and thought about, you know, how did they come across as unflappable and very tough. And then the rest, again, was just a lot of character research and trying to figure out who I thought this person was and how they would emerge through me.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm having looked at your list of credits, it's made me want to go back and watch some of the series or some of the films that you've been in, because reading the premise of a lot of them just has me interested.
Thank you.
And like the Revenge of Zoe, like that has me interested a little bit. Like I love any time like comics or just different things that you just don't normally see, mm-hmm. kind of come out anymore, because it seems like everything is like a continuation of a franchise at this point.
Very true. I know exactly what you're talking about, and that's actually, as we're building Sealy Studios and moving our current plans forward, that's a lot of our goals are to help get very unique and unique good stories out there that are not necessarily just a repaste, you know, not cut paste repeat necessarily. You know, we like the idea of creatively, I suppose you could, as to quote my Kung Fu grandmaster, having wings of mind. And but you know, certainly not in a way that's just a disorganized mess. They still have to be projects that people can understand and that are commercially viable. But you know, I'm always, again, looking for that unique concept if there is really anything unique anymore, but something that's not just the standard. If we're doing a superhero storyline, I don't want to do the standard superhero storyline where, much as I love a lot of the more recent superhero releases, about 5 minutes in, I can tell you the entire plot line and most of the dialogue.
It's gotten pretty formulaic.
It has, and that can be satisfying. I mean, that's the payoff that I want emotionally if I'm going to see that particular kind of movie. But there's a point where it's like, you know, okay, I'm enjoying the visual ride and the performances are good, but I have seen this movie. You know,
what are some projects that you enjoy taking on? Whether do you enjoy doing feature films or web series I saw in their animation.
We've done some animation. That was the bulk of the animation that was done in the past was under Don's leadership, and I wasn't directly involved with most of those, although it's stuff we can do. But I do love animation projects, and I should add, by the way, that I'm also a voice actor, and one of my teachers, some of your audience might remember, was a gal who passed away recently, Lucille Bliss, who was the original Smurfette on the NBC cartoon show.
Oh, wow.
And, she was awesome and kooky. And so that was she was where I learned cartoon voiceover. So I dig that stuff. I haven't had a lot of opportunity to do cartoon animation as a producer. But to answer your question, though, yes, I like it all. It just kind of, when we are generating, when we're working on what projects we're going to put onto our slate, you can kind of, to me, I guess this is where the gut comes in. We might be given a screenplay and it's like, this is amazing. I've optioned a couple just recently. They're fantastic and they're perfect as films. There are things that we start developing and we look at them and I can kind of go, okay, yeah, this smells like a series. I want more time to tell this story. And I think that's what's going to sell here. Or this feels like a feature film and that's how we're going to develop this. So really it just kind of comes down to what is the right media to tell that story. And that's what I like. But I can tell you that I am particularly fascinated by the concept of the web series, which now is a television series. Let's face it, it's all blended.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the idea, in principle, I love the idea of being able to really spend a lot of time with characters and really, really get to know them over time and really, really, I do really enjoy the feature film process, and I really enjoy watching a feature film. But if I had to choose between the two artistically, then I would probably go with the series concept, just because I like, if I really love the characters, I want to be with them for a while.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I mean there's the potential with film, but you're still kind of limited to the amount of story you can tell with that block of space, opposed to the web series or the television series.
You got to have beginning, middle, and end in a certain amount of time, and you do still have to cut. It's cut stuff or not use certain concepts you come up with in the series capacity, but there's just so much more breath that you can put into a series, and it allows you to take your time a little bit more.
Awesome. So what are some projects that may not be listed or that you can speak about that you have coming up?
That I can speak about. That's a good one. We are also working on doing a final launch target for a narco crime drama short series called El Patron the Master, which was co-produced with a number of great people who shall become evident soon. And actually that was that went through a film festival run recently and won some awards.
Awesome.
Revenge of Zoe, of course, I've talked about. We are in the process of doing a lot of audiobooks right now. And I'm working on a program that I can say very little about, I'm afraid, that is somewhat related in partnership with my friend, author, and publisher, David Lee Summers, who's a fantastic sci-fi, horror, and steampunk author. We're creating some really exciting programs that are designed to help grow the work of authors, and I can't say too much more about that, but I will say that audiobooks are a part of that, and we're working on a number of those right now. And this is really, I think overall, I was developing a strategy with Don before he passed away, and ultimately what it came down to was the concept of, we really believe that artists working together in the right way, in ways that make sense commercially, and in ways that that make sense in terms of doing honor to each other, allows everyone to win. So we were developing a strategy, which we're in the process of launching, that is designed to help a lot of artists have better careers, and to also create a lot of really excellent media for audiences. And that's why I have essentially no life right now. I just work all the time, because it's a very difficult strategy to launch, but it is, we believe it can work very, very well, and I'm quite excited about it.
I look forward to seeing how that turns out. I'm a fan of audiobooks, especially because of commute times. It just makes it easier to listen to something on the go, no matter where you're at. So that's mm-hmm. that's always something that interests me. And then the voice acting aspect, whether it's reading or it's voice acting in the audiobooks, that always piques my interest. But us on the network, we really enjoy voice actors, so that's something that resonates really well with us.
Right. Well, a big key to, I mean, we're doing a lot more than just audiobooks, and we're doing a lot of video work, et cetera, but a big key to a good audiobook, it's a performance. Mm-hmm. Even if it's one actor reading, it's still an actor, ideally, reading. If it's a fiction book, and if it's a nonfiction book, it's still a performance. There needs to be there's both a matter of technical performance skill that needs to go into it, and there needs to be heart. And I think heart is the major point. It's got to be a heartfelt performance, or it's not going to engage. It's not going to resonate. And that field is just too competitive right now to do any less than your best,
Exactly. So how can the listeners get a hold of you and find out more about you and Sealy Studios online?
Well, I am all over the place. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, etc. I am, you can go to my personal actor website at ericschumacherfilm.com. Schumacher is S-C-H-U-M-A-C-H-E-R. For those of you who aren't native German speakers. Of course, we have two other websites, well, three really right now. SeeleyStudios.com, that's S-E-E-L-I-E. That site, by the way, is being completely rebuilt. So it's an older site that you'll see right now, but it's going to have a lot of exciting things on it very soon. And also our website, pulpgamer.com, which is largely targeted to the board game and role-playing game, analog gaming world, which was where Don came out of, actually. And of course, to find out more about the film Revenge of Zoe, there's revengeofzoe.com. Zoe is Z-O-E, and that site is nearly fully built as we're getting ready to launch the film. But ericschumacherfilm.com is a good sort of central place for people to find me. And, of course, just look me up on social media. And I'm not hard to find there. And if folks want to reach out to me directly, I tend to be a little bit slow on getting back to people because I get a lot of messages. But I do really try hard to get back to everyone. And I'm always happy to hear from folks who are fellow artists or would-be fans or people who already know my work or whatever. It's I like people.
as do we. So I thank you, Eric, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to hang out with us here on Altered Geek.
My pleasure.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.